speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
You are a good-looking group. We have some pretty young ladies, some handsome young men, and in that, your love is just so encouraging. To see the way in which each one of you love our God, and that's very evident because you openly talk about your love for God, you demonstrate your love for God by being here, but also in the way in which you carry yourself as you go throughout life. Your love for God is very encouraging to me, and I know to this congregation. Your love for your family, your mother and father, for your siblings, the way in which you express that love and show your love on a continual basis. Your love for the church, being here all the time, but also the way in which I never hear any of you complain about lengthy sermons or things like that, or about the classes that you're involved with. You're very eager to be involved in the things here. And today, we want to encourage you that if you're not a Christian, to think about becoming a Christian. If you are a Christian, we want to encourage you to live your life faithful to God. We know that it's very challenging to live here in this world, but yet at the same time, God wants us to live faithful before Him. And while it's challenging, God says that we can indeed accomplish living a faithful life in front of Him. You know, our God wants you to understand that each one of you are very special to Him. You have been wonderfully created by our God. Our God has set His love upon you, and God also expects you to understand that He has given you a soul that dwells in you now, and a soul that's going to dwell even beyond this life in eternity. And God also defines for us is that He knows each and every one of you personally. He knew you before you actually were conceived, before you ever was alive. And also, God knows your name, and He understands the life that you are now living. He also is able to see the future, the life that you are going to live. And God wants so much for you to not only to understand that He knows you, but also that you ought to aspire, that you ought to want to know Him. And in knowing Him, we come to know our God through knowing His Word. As I stand before you today, kids, also, I'm going to tell you something that I trust each one of you already know, is that your parents love you. You are the product of their love. They have expressed their love for one another verbally, and they have demonstrated their love for one another as a husband and wife. And therefore, you are their offspring, and as their offspring, you are indeed a product of their love, and you are a gift to them from God. The Bible identifies this in Psalms 127 and verse 3. And your parents love you more than probably you understand at this given time. Their love for you is that they would go to the end of this world for you, and they want so much for you to be happy in life. And they want so much probably for you to have life easier than what they had. I'm speaking as a parent myself. And in that, most certainly you, I believe, would know and would want to know and to accomplish this is that your parents need and deserve your love. They need and deserve not only your love for you to tell them on a continual basis how much you love them, but also to demonstrate it, to honor them, to respect them, and to do what it is that they ask you to do in life. And kids, today also, I want to encourage you and to instruct you to say, our country needs you for the future. We live in a very challenging time whenever we look in regard to things that our nation is facing. And in this, our God expects you to appreciate this beautiful country that we live in. America, we are indeed the land of the free. And why are we that? It's because God has blessed us. We've had individuals who have laid their life on the line to secure our freedom and even at this point in time to maintain our freedom, and always thank those who have and who are serving in our military. But also as regard to the way in which God expects you to fit into society, God wants you to grow and to be productive. To be a productive citizen. Also, God says that we need to be careful as you grow and as you fit into society to realize that God's going to give you everything that you need as long as you're willing to put your hands to the work. But yet at the same time, you're not going to get everything that you want in life. And therefore, God tells us that we need to be content. To be content to whatever situation we're in, that is, the things that maybe you face in life, but also whenever it comes to the financial areas that we're in life, but yet at the same time to aspire to be all that we can. And then God wants each and every one of you, that's what He expects out of each and every one of us, right, Christians? To be respectful as you go through life. To look to people and to respect them as a soul, as an individual who will someday stand before God, but also to respect those who might be in a more superior place than you. What I mean by that is maybe in your workplace where you're going to work, respect those individuals, or where you go to school, respect your superiors, your teachers at this given time, and to realize that you are indeed a light unto the world. You might say, Kevin, I'm young right now. What do you mean I'm a light unto the world? You might be surprised who's looking at you on a daily basis as you go to school, as you go out here in society and mix and mingle with your friends. You are an influence to people that you are coming in contact with continually each day. But also, you are very important to this church, to the congregation here at East End. We love you. We love you for your innocence. You kids are just amazing, and I wish in so many ways that we as adults could go back to that point to where we would be as innocent as many of you are. We love you for your compassion. Your compassion for God, your compassion for even one another, but also your compassion for others. You're continually engaged in doing things with this congregation and for this congregation. Whenever we have Christmas time rolls around, you put together gift baskets and give to our elderly and to our shut-ins. You're going about from time to time and doing service projects, reaching out into the community as well as into our family here. And what a blessing you are to the work here at East End. Each one of you are very important, and each one of you have something to offer to the church here. And we realize that, and we want you to know that we see that. And that means so much to us. And I want to encourage you with what Paul encouraged Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 and following. Be an example to us on a continual basis. Make certain that as you are living your life, that not only are you trying to live your life in a way that will please God, but also in a way that will help encourage this congregation as we are, but also as we want to be stronger and to grow in number for the sake of souls. And you play a very important part of that, and we realize that, and we want to recognize that today as we have you together as our youth. And also, you need to understand that there is absolutely no limit to the things that you're going to be able to accomplish in life if you will give your life over to God. God invites every soul to be a part of the salvation that is extended in Christ. And what we find in regard to God is that God is all-powerful. God sees everything. God knows all things. He understands what it is that we're going through in life. And God, in His understanding, He has a path for each and every one in life. And in that, we choose where we're going to go, but yet at the same time, God has a knowledge of all that. And if we will work with God, God is going to work with us to make us the type of Christian that certainly He will be pleased with, but also one that will be very successful as you find your place in and throughout the course of your time here. Our God blesses us with so many amazing blessings. Every blessing that we have comes from God. The very basic things that God gives unto us is our food, shelter, and clothing. And while I call them basic, yet at the same time, they're not really so basic because they're essential to life. And God understands that, and God's going to make certain that we have those things. But also, God blesses us with family. Each one of you are blessed with a beautiful family. I think that all who are here, sitting right in through here especially, I know your moms and dads, they're good people. Not only do they love you, they also love the Lord and they love the church. And what a blessing God has bestowed upon you to bring them into your life. Also, you are blessed with a number of good friends, I trust, friends outside of the church, but also close friends in the church. You're all sitting together like sardines today, not all spread out. And that tells me that you have a love and respect for one another, but also in regard to the faith of the church family that we have here. God has blessed you with a beautiful church family. And God identifies, and God wants you to know, is that Satan works continually against you. In all, Satan is real. Now, the devil himself wants to convince individuals that he's not real, that he does not exist, that he's been made up by Christians to scare people into living the life of God. But God says that Satan is indeed real, and he's very persuasive. He will use words and he will use situations to try to get you to look away from God and to get you to focus upon Him. And good people, in all of that, he's very shrewd in the way in which he works. He's able to transform himself into an angel of light. And when we think of Satan, we think of this red creature with big horns, right? That's not the way that Satan presents himself. You know that. He comes in amongst kids who look just like you. He comes in sometimes not only amongst the kids, but amongst adults who look normal, but yet at the same time they're going to speak in ungodly ways. They're going to do things that are evil and sinful. And Satan's wanting to use those individuals and those situations to pull you according to his way and away from God. There are so many evil allurements out here in life. Every day and everywhere, you are facing temptation. And God says that you need to be careful to understand the things that Satan's trying to do to get you to follow him versus following God. And he wants you to be very wise to understand his will and not to love the world nor to love those things that are evil or to enjoy them. Now, I'm going to say that there are some things that Satan will try to lay upon you that he's going to try to get you to do that if you do them, initially, you may think to yourself, well, that was kind of fun. But yet at the same time, if it is a violation of God's law, God sees it as sinful. And while sin may be fun from a human standpoint or from a fleshly point of view, God says that it separates us from Him, and therefore we need not to concern ourselves or to go according to the direction that Satan wants. God also reveals to us is that He is faithful. That's stated a number of times, Old and New Testament Scripture. God is always faithful in what He promises people, in what He's going to do with and for people. And God reveals unto us is that He wants us to succeed in life. Kids, He wants so much for you to be successful, not only here in this world, but from a spiritual standpoint, God wants you to be successful as a Christian. And therefore, He's always providing opportunities. While Satan is working against you, God is providing opportunities for you to escape the temptations that Satan's laying out. And what you've got to do is to keep your eyes focused upon God. And God wants you then, therefore, to live a faithful life before Him. In order for you to do that, you must love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You must obey God by submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And then you must commit to God. Commit to living your life to God no matter what Satan's going to do, no matter what somebody's going to say or what somebody might do to try and to pull you away from God. You say, I'm going to live for God no matter what. How are you going to be able to live faithful to God as a youth? You need to determine to be different. Do you remember Daniel? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were taken by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians back unto Babylon to serve the king, to be servants, the children of God, to be servants. And it's stated in the context is that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had found favor in the sight of Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore he wanted them wined and dined. He wanted them to have the best in regard to what it was that he had to offer them to eat. Also, he wanted them to partake of his wine. And Daniel stood up and he says, I'm not going to do that. He says, I just want vegetables only to eat. And he says, I only want to drink water. And in all of that, that could have cost him his life. It could have cost him his favor with Nebuchadnezzar and his empire. But Daniel didn't care. And as a result of his request, do you know what they did? They honored Daniel's desire. And as a result of what it is that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego does in eating the vegetables and drinking only the water, the Lord blessed their countenance to where that as the leaders of Nebuchadnezzar were looking upon them, that they saw that they were different than the rest of the others who were being fed the king's delicacies. How is it that Daniel was successful before God? Because Daniel determined to be different. And kids, today I want to encourage you to be different also. Don't talk like the world talks. The world, as you well know, engages in talking in profanity, using cuss words and things. Don't go there. The world will try to get you involved in off-color jokes, dirty jokes, and things of that nature. Don't go there. Don't listen to it. Don't talk in the same way in which they talk. Also, be careful about the way in which you dress. We live in a world today where that people will dress themselves very immodestly. And we're heading into summertime where that the shorts keep getting shorter. I'm not opposed to shorts, but they need to be respectable. And with that, though we live in a society to where they keep getting shorter and the ladies want to wear things that show things that they shouldn't show, and the guys want to wear things down to show things that they shouldn't show, guys pull them up and ladies cover up. We should not be involved in dressing our ways like the world dresses. Why? Because we're different than the world. God wants us to stand out, to understand that we are a special people in the sight of God and that we are holy before God. Don't act like the world, because if you act like the world, God cannot have any part with you. Why? Because the world does not know God. The world is passing away, and you need to determine to be different this day in your life. But also, abstain from or stay away from youthful lust. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph is another Old Testament person who found favor in the sight of God. And Joseph, as he's there in Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh's wife begins to look upon him. He was a very handsome man. And based out of that then, we see that she makes advancements towards him and she wants him to lay with her. And good people, he could not do that. Why? Because she was the wife of Pharaoh, but also he couldn't have done that anyway. Why? Because he and she were not married. It didn't matter if she was married to somebody else. If they weren't married, he couldn't lay with her in that way. And in that, Joseph understood that if he had done so, that not only would he have sinned against Pharaoh and against this woman and against himself, he would have sinned against God. Today, as you live your life, be like Joseph in that respect. Control yourself. There are all kinds of temptations that maybe you have faced or are facing or will face. And kids, understand that God wants you to control yourself as you go through these things, to respect yourself. And in respecting yourself, also respect other people. Respect, guys, respect the ladies. Love them. Respect them for who they are. Ladies, respect the guys. Love them. And respect them for who God has created them. And to realize that God wants you to save yourself, to keep yourself pure as you go through life, so that when you save yourself in a sexual manner, that you're saving yourself for that special mate that someday you will marry, to be your wife or, ladies, to be your husband. God wants you to abstain from the youthful lust that is out here in life. And then also, give your battles over to God. Do you remember there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 58, we have in the context David, and David was a young man at the time, and the Philistines were always an adversary working against Israel and working against God. And they wanted so much, Israel wanted so much for the Philistines to be dealt with, but the Philistines had a giant of a man, Goliath, that everyone was afraid of. And David, David inquires and says, what are you going to do for the individual who deals with Goliath and the Philistines? And as a result then of the idea that this individual is going to be rewarded and that this individual would be looked upon with great respect, David chooses for himself five little stones, smooth stones, and a slingshot. How many stones did it take to kill Goliath? One little stone. Why was David able to kill Goliath with one little stone? Because he gave the battle over to God. And kids, no matter what it is that you face in life, if you have God on your side, if you believe in God and trust in God, pray for God's help. Turn to God's people for guidance. Look into God's Word for instruction. You, in doing this, you're turning your battles over to God. We say from time to time, let go and let God. And that's the advice I want to give you today is when you face things in life, understand that some things are bigger than you are. They're bigger than I am. And therefore, if we try to handle it on our own, we may fail. But if we put it in God's hand, no matter what the outcome is, we trust that God, again, is not going to give us more than we can handle. And we trust that God is going to bless us because of the fact that we have trusted in Him as we've gone through the things in life. But also, there's another person that I want us to think about today in our pursuit to live faithful to God. What about Solomon? The Bible reveals that there was never a man who lived upon the face of the earth any wiser than Solomon. Solomon ruled as king over the children of Israel. And in this, whenever he took the reign, he turned to God and he says, God, I want you to give me wisdom. And God gave him wisdom above any other. And then God gave him an opportunity to demonstrate that he had wisdom. You remember the situation where two women were fighting over an infant and they bring it before Solomon and in this they want Solomon to choose who's the mother, who's going to get the child. And Solomon, of course, is beside himself. He didn't know which was the mother or the child. How was he going to be able to determine that? And Solomon, in his wisdom that is given unto him by God, he says, give me a sword and I'll cut the baby in half and each of you can have a half. And the mother, here's a mother's love, right, moms? The mother steps up and says, uh-uh, don't do that. Give the child over to the other woman. And Solomon knew right then that he was dealing with the mother of that child. Solomon understood through the course of his life, or at least the very beginning portion of it, that wisdom that came from God was essential. Later in his life, he had turned away from God. And as he looked to his life, as he had departed from God, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher. The preacher there is not like I am, but rather the one who speaks on the behalf of God, and just in his everyday walk of life. That's what he was talking about. Vanity of vanity, in regard to what Solomon saw about his life as one who was supposed to have spoke for God. He says, whenever I look to my life, all the wealth that I have acquired, all the fame, all the status, the positions of life, everything that he had surrounded himself with, he says, it's vain, it's empty. Why? Because he had left God out of the equation. And kids, understand what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, obey your Creator in the days of your youth before difficult days come. Kids, turn to God when you're young. Become rooted and grounded in your understanding of God. Grow in your love and knowledge of God. The Scripture says that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. As you go through life, kids, I want you to apply yourself as you go through school. I trust that you're doing that. Why? Because when you get out, you may want to go on to college and apply yourself there. When you get out, you may want to go out and get a job. And with the things that you learn today is going to help you for the future, no matter what it is that you do in life. Pursue your dreams in life. If it is education beyond high school, go after that. If it is working as a doctor, as a nurse, as a lawyer, as a merchant, as a preacher, guys, let me encourage that. No matter what your dreams are in life, pursue them, but always turn and follow our God. Study His Word and stay with God's Word no matter what this life deals you. And then above all, the last person I want us to think about today, kids, is Jesus Christ our Lord. Make God the number one focus in your life. When Jesus was here, His life was about serving God. He came to seek and to save the lost, and He knew that in order for Him to do that, He was going to have to focus Himself not on life, but rather upon eternal life, upon salvation for you and me. And God's will was how all of that came into play. And God's will is for you to be saved. God's will is not only for you to be saved, but for you to live your life in such a way that others will be able to be touched by you and to be led to become a Christian, but also your family, your kids, grandkids. You say, I'm young. I shouldn't be thinking about that. You need to be thinking about the future and generations that will be affected because of you. Kids, put God number one in your life by studying His Word, by always attending the worship services, but then also by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when you do, you're well on your way to serving God. I've got some closing points that I want us to ponder. Do you believe in God? And whenever I think about believing in God, it is important for you to believe in God. For those who come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How much should you believe in God? It's said concerning Christ is that you need to believe in Him with all of your heart. Out with doubt and believe in God with 100%. Is your love for God right? It's more than just saying that you love God. Kids, do you love God to the level, and if you don't to this level, be thinking about it and working on it, but do you love God to the level to where you say, I want to obey Him. I want to serve Him in life. That's the level of love that God wants out of you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But then also, are you accountable to God? Now let me say this. If you're young and what we said in the beginning of the lesson, innocent before God, you're safe with God. But you're going to find, and some of you maybe are already there, is that you reach a point of accountability. And note, kids, I said point, not age. The denominational world says an age of accountability. There's no age to it. A point of accountability. To where you understand right and wrong, to where you understand sin, and where you recognize that sin separates you from God. Are you accountable to God? And if you're not, then that's fine. But if you are, then what are you doing about it? Have you considered being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? You say, Kevin, why would you mention being baptized? It's in baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And it's in baptism then that we receive the forgiveness of sin. And the Bible says that at baptism then that we are added unto the Lord's church. And that we are counted as a part of God's spiritual family. So kids, have you thought about being baptized? And then how can we help you in growing your faith? I think that we have such wonderful classes here at East End. Our elders have exercise their wisdom and foresight in putting forth classes, and we've got great teachers who come into these classes and teach, and kids, we do all of this because we want to serve God, but also we want to serve you in helping to grow or to develop your faith. If you have ways that we can help you even beyond that to understand God's Word and to grow, to develop your faith, let us know, because we're here to help. But also, what are you doing to prepare yourself to develop your faith? But what are you doing also for the day in which we will stand before God in judgment? Kids, we love you. Again, we love you for your love for God, your love for family, and your love for the church. And each one of you means so much to us, and we want, I hope that we will not only express it today from the pulpit or from the lectern, but that we will do this every day. Your parents, I know, do, and I pray that as a congregation, church, hear me, I'm talking to all of us now, let's let our kids always know how much we love them each day and encourage them to become Christians and to live faithful before God.